That bear is called the Sidewinder, with Lee Morgan on trumpet, Joe Henderson on tenor sax, Barry Harris on piano, Bob Cranshaw on bass. It's the title track from Morgan's 1999 album. You should take a listen to it, and I'm sure you're going to put it in your own collection. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're going to just travel back in time just a little bit as we start the program today. I was looking through my own archives, and I ran into this. Oh boy. Congress, Republicans and Democrats alike, have utterly failed the nation and imperiled us all by doing nothing about an, quote, unstable, unquote, president. So therefore, Congress must be called to account, and the issue must be revisited and resolved. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee had held a hearing on the 14th of November, 2017, sorry, that, though understated, was explosive in its import. The hearing's focus: what measures are in place to check President Donald Trump's sole authority to use nuclear weapons? Keep in mind, this is going back to 2017. It's not accidental that the issue is being raised now, along with other related issues. Quote, "We are concerned that the President of the United States is so unstable and is so volatile that he might order a nuclear weapon strike that is so widely out of step with U.S. national security interests." A direct quote from the senator from then senator from Connecticut, as reported by Mother Jones reporter, very noted reporter, David Korn. He got this quote and he reported it as the direct quote from the Senate committee member. It was also significant at the time that Trump's mental state was raised in the context of official policy, foreign policy in particular. Again, I just want to remind you, this was from November the 14th, 2017. So the issue of Donald Trump's instability was apparent back then. And it was apparently very concerning to members of the Senate, who at the time were urging an immediate hearing or to begin hearings into the matter. They observed behavior in the president that was extremely worrying. And they decided that they ought to get to the bottom of it as quickly as possible because, number one, when you have an unsteady hand at the wheel, there's no telling what direction the nation will be going. They raised, not everybody else, but they in particular raised this question about the president's state of mind. They were the ones who said he was unstable. Unstable. And they're worried that this unstable president, going back, I'm telling you, I don't want to repeat it too often, but I just want to impress upon you that this was several years ago, just as the president was basically settling into office. They already had seen enough to worry them about the president's state of mind. They were concerned, and they believed at the time that he was unstable, not fit. Unstable and volatile. So, why is it that in 2020 we're still dealing with the same issue? There has been no explanation as to why these hearings were not held. There's no explanation as to what happened to these intense feelings by members of the US Senate that caused them to want to call hearings on the matter. And then you skip a little bit of time forward to now, and you see how right on the money they were. I don't want to plug myself, but I do have to mention that this particular analysis of the president's instability and volatility and other traits, undesirable traits, I pointed out very early, saying there's something wrong with this guy. Get him someplace and put him in deep treatment and get somebody else. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's clearly out of his mind in his own universe, and yet he has the hands, he has his fingers, I should say, on the button, the nuclear button, and he is convinced he can run the nation all by himself. The rest of the people don't know what the heck they're doing. He does. And you fast forward and you see he hasn't changed a bit. He hasn't changed one whit, except he has become even more intensely out of his mind, intensely unstable, intensely volatile. And it goes without saying, that was the only time we saw any movement by the US Senate or in Congress generally to put this question to rest, to have the hearings and to figure out what is it that we got. This is the leader of the United States. I'm not saying it in a pejorative way, but Congress was very, very, very concerned. Literally, they thought that the nation was not in safe hands with somebody with such evident problems, mental problems. They cannot trust a person with this level of debilitation to be the person with the hands, his hands on the wheel of state. And just like that, it disappeared. Until we see what is going on in the nation today. It's the attitude hasn't changed. It infuses all of the issues that we are dealing with currently. The virus, the coronavirus, It was Trump who didn't act in time, who dismissed the urgency to do something. We have massive unemployment. We have the nation literally, one side is fighting the other. This is how he thrives on this. He creates the scenario so that he can relish the idea of riding in on his horse. Here he comes to save the day. I'm making the point that 3 years down the line, nothing has been done. Nothing more has been said. Even after making such an incredible statement publicly, saying we need to arrest the situation now. What we are seeing is not good, and we need to have hearings. Because the president impresses us as a person who is so unstable. That's their words. So volatile. Their words. That they didn't see how they could entrust national security to a president like that. They made us suffer through the last 3 years. They have to account for that. We have to demand an answer as to why, having diagnosed a problem of great urgency, they did nothing. And much of what we are seeing today and reacting to today was evident more than 3 years ago. So I'm a bit confused. You're the Senate. And you have no explanation as to why, after making public an observation like that, you've done nothing. The subject was dead on arrival. You've done nothing. Despite you yourselves pointing out how urgent this matter is. And you were right. That's the thing. You were absolutely correct in your analysis. But 3 years have gone by and nothing. The whole subject matter has been dropped. It's disappeared. It's off the map. It doesn't exist. And then we see in recent months a rapid deterioration again of the president's mental faculties. You have the military clear your path to a church, which is emptied for your convenience, so you could hold the Bible upside down, no doubt, for a photo op. All right. We have to ask a question here. And we have to demand some answers now. And we shouldn't be playing around with this, because we are on the cusp of a national election. Dare we compound the problem by having, say, Donald Trump winning the election? And then comes the task of deposing him as president. You've shown, I'm talking about the Senate, you have no appetite. You just made a statement. It was jarring. I talked about it when the statement was made the very next day, November 15th. You've forgotten about it. You've taken it off the table. As has Donald Trump. So there's no problem, is there? I made it all up. The urgency that existed then, for some reason, by some miracle, has dissipated. It has disappeared. Trump is no longer a danger to the country. He's no longer unqualified for the job. How do we explain this kind of, here today and there tomorrow kind of attitude in the way this country is run? And you're playing on people's heartstrings and their sense of patriotism and all of that stuff. We should shut up and not raise any questions. We should trust that you know what you're doing when it's clear that you don't. And even though the members of the higher house of Congress, the US Senate, members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, you held a hearing, a preliminary hearing, and you explained that the focus of the hearing was to define what means there might be in place should the president, the volatile president, choose to go off the deep end. How is the country going to be protected? You raised the question, and you were correct in raising the question. I'm asking how come it disappeared? And that was 3 years ago. You gave this guy 3 years, how should I say, a 3 year benefit of office, although he's unqualified. Today we're reading in the news that there is a revolt practically in the highest levels of the military and ex-military, saying in one case, General Mattis, we are witnessing the consequences of 3 years without mature leadership. Well, excuse me. It was also 3 years ago that the Senate Foreign Relations Committee insisted that the matter be brought to a hearing. President Trump's apparent ineptitude. And now the wheels are turning slowly, but they're now turning slowly in the context of a whole different set of agendas that they are exploiting. They're now exploiting the death because they see people mobilized behind it. They say, well, hey, maybe this is a good time to get back to the question. The murder, the torture, killing, and that's what I should insist. I insist that we call it that, the torture killing. Never mind what the law book says and what provisions it has so far. It's inadequate. We need to update it. This was a torture killing. When you methodically choke a man's breath out of his body by kneeling on his neck, you know what you're doing. That's the mark of a seasoned killer. That is torture. He shouldn't just be tried for murder. That was a torture killing. Let's be clear about that. But let me get back to my point. We have other things that are moving now, and they're seeing the public becoming more and more animated in its own defense, because nobody's defending black people in this country. Nobody's defending people of color. Where the defense needs to come from. But you can see how these uprisings are responding to the very question. Why are some people more open to these kinds of treatments? Because we have a president who endorses it, who likes it, who, in order to appeal to his so-called political base, is demonstrating the fact that he's in control. And all these years that you've been pining away, hoping for a strong man to come along and put black folks in their place, finally, you got it. But take note, when the highest level of military people are concerned, and they've been concerned, and nothing has been done, we now have to ask some questions, don't you think? How could you say 3 years ago, this man is a problem. He's taking the country the wrong way forward. You were very convinced that he had to go. You have to have hearings. You've got to dig deeper. And now you take the position that all is well. We thought perhaps we were wrong to raise the issue. But you can see the record proves you were not wrong in your observation and analysis. But it still doesn't answer the question, what happens now? You finally come to terms with the idea that you were wrong and you were negligent because your job is to protect what? The Constitution. 3 years down the line, you lived quite well, quite happily, with somebody dedicated to trouncing the Constitution to do whatever he wanted to do. You didn't exercise any checks and balances. And you've seen his handiwork, what he has produced. A nation in turmoil, in economic freefall, with more people unemployed than there were in the Great Depression. And you still don't know what to do. You still don't have any explanation as to why an initiative that should have been undertaken more than 3 years ago still remains undone. Do we have any reason to want people like you in office or in a leadership capacity? I think you know the answer to that. And we'll hear your reactions when we come back from this break at 888-874-4888. You see, you always have to keep tabs. I was just going through my old notes and happened upon this. And that kind of jarred my memory. We've been here for 3 years. We were looking for leadership for 3 years. Even the higher ups in the military are saying, As General Mattis said, what we are witnessing is the result of inadequate, unprepared leadership. He called it, we are witnessing the consequences of 3 years without mature leadership. We'll talk about mature leadership when we come back right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and this is when you get to chime in. We're talking about the U.S. Senate insisting 3+ years ago that the Senate ought to hold hearings into the matter of the sanity of the president. Because strange things were happening even back then. And there were questions about his leadership. There were questions about whether he was mentally fit. And now, as I go back to the notes that I had, and now to just update where we are, we had General Mattis stating unequivocally, we are witnessing the consequences of 3 years without mature leadership. Your reactions at 888-874-4888. Ma'at from New York, you're on the air.
Greetings, beloveds.
Thank you.
I just have four words. Well, actually five. Inevitable decline of empire. That's five words, right? That's it. The inevitable decline of empire.
Well, that sounds good, but what does it tell us?
It tells us that it's good that Mattis came out and he talked about the fact that the president hasn't been able to unify the country in terms of his experience and what he's seen, and the fact about equal rights and what he's doing is unconstitutional, and on and on. I mean, we've known for a long time that this guy's elevator didn't go up to the top floor. And he doesn't even seem to have a couple of cards in his deck. And we just have to kind of hold on, seeing there's some positive going on because something really unique is happening in terms of Trump aside addressing truly white supremacy. We see that there's some tipping point. Perhaps certain, people who have this identity as white folks, maybe they've seen the connection of all of us just in terms of the pandemic.
I want you to go straight to the topic. And the topic is 3+ years ago, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee raised the matter as an urgent matter. And they raised the matter because, in its view, the committee's view, the president was sending signals that bothered people who were paying attention. And they determined that the president was basically a threat to the nation in his mental state at the time. I'm asking, that was 3+ years ago. Nothing
yes,
has happened.
I
They haven't
understand.
Pursued it.
I understand the question, and the Republican-dominated Senate might have had some good and righteous thoughts along those lines, but now just about all of them march in step. So they seem to have long pulled away. We saw that in the impeachment, except for Romney, and Romney didn't even have anything to say in terms of the tear gassing and the you know the trip to the church where no one really wanted him. So, you know, the Republicans are really monstrous and heinous.
But at the time this decision was made to hold hearings, it was a bipartisan effort. So I'm asking, okay, so let's say the Republicans became decidedly partisan. How does that explain the absence of any movement by the Democrats on the question?
Yeah, well, the Democrats in the Senate wouldn't have control of that foreign relations committee, so they would essentially be powerless except for their bully pulpit, and they've long cowed under Trump. We've seen that in so many ways, and that's why they chose someone like Biden. You know, he's the neoliberal that they're giving us.
Well, I just want to know what happened. How do we account for the total disappearance of something that was said, that was launched, and when launched, was said to be the reason to address the volatility and the inability of the president to basically fly right. Thanks for starting us off today. Gene from Maryland, you're on the air.
Patrice, and good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you. Good afternoon to you.
Utrice, I don't know, a month ago, I called into your show, and I gave you the answer to this at that point. I said, all roads lead to Kentucky. And the answer to your question is that Mitch McConnell, as the leader of the Senate, does not wish for any sort of check and or balance to be placed against the president. And he told you so. During the impeachment, Mitch McConnell said, I am going to do what the White House asks me to do. Period. And so, from the standpoint of what is constitutional and the idea that we are supposed to be able to enjoy checks and balances where one branch of the government checks the other, that's gone. And Mitch McConnell told you it's gone. And so until something happens to either bring Mitch McConnell back under the controls of the Constitution, or he gets voted out of office, this is what we're going to have.
Well, that is partially the explanation. You still have a missing entity to account for, and that is the Democrats. Forget what Mitch McConnell wants. This was a commitment made 3 years ago, and when it was made to hold these hearings, it was represented to the people that the nation is in deep trouble because of the mental issues that the president has. And the president poses a danger to the nation.
With
so
respect, I disagree.
Was it really the case? Did Trump really pose a a danger to the nation, or did something happen that made them see a different light?
Mitch McConnell doesn't care about the danger. He's only interested
I'm talking about
in
the
his...
Democrats. I'm talking about the Democrats.
I'm following you. I'm following you. But the Democrats in the Senate are irrelevant. Now, sure, they can put a hold on a piece of legislation. Sure, they can get up in on, at the well of the Senate and give a speech. But the reality is the leader of the Senate, by process and rule, is the one that sets the Senate agenda. What legislation comes to the floor, committee assignments, budgets, that's the leader.
I understand
that. And
Mitch
McConnell has said
nobody made any
in
noise.
Very clear terms.
Nobody made any noise. And the matter just went poof.
I agree, but I mean, who are you going to count on for noise? Chuck Schumer?
No,
I mean,
Chuck Schumer, or we can hear also from the House side, noting what was happening on the Senate side. And here you had a perfect opportunity for Nancy Pelosi to express her dismay.
I think what you got in that opportunity was Nancy Pelosi expressing her corruption, not expressing her dismay. She was showing you how she is willing to go along with the very dangerous nature and activities of the president, along with the unconstitutional and unfair activities being led by Mitch McConnell in the Senate.
Well, I still say, who is going to account for the fact that this very important question, which has been proven time and again to be a legitimate question, just disappeared, nobody's saying anything about it, which means that nobody has any intention to raise any hackles over it. And in the meantime, the nation is going to hell. I mean, you have generals saying this is not the way to go.
I'll leave you with this. The Democrats are just as rotten as the Republicans. They are corrupt. We are left with nothing to be able to support the people and or the Constitution. Given that, to answer your question, there's nobody.
All righty. I hear you. Thanks for calling in and contributing today. Ed from Queens, you're on the air. What are we to make of these facts that 3+ years ago, this was a major cause of concern? It was an urgent matter that needed to be addressed, and it just died. We don't know what happened to it. And now we're hearing, you know, the General Mattis saying we are witnessing the consequences of 3 years without mature leadership. How do you reconcile these two things?
I can tell you from my perspective exactly what happened. As I said to you before, I'm a amateur historian. I look at things in the context of time. A situation can't be assessed unless you look at the things that contributed to that situation manifesting itself. This country has been in decline since the days of Ronald Reagan. That's when we turned a blind eye to leadership and allowed the falseness of leadership to come through. So this is the, all Trump is the confluence of ego politics and misogynistic people. He's the ultimate, I told you before, he's the ultimate foil. Everything that the Democrat, Republican, everything that you're against, you can put it on him and allow it to be passed. He hasn't had any real opposition to any bills he's wanted passed. He hasn't had any real, in his 3 years, he hasn't had any real opposition other than verbal. And they allow him to be an aberrant child so their agendas can be pushed through. So so Pelosi's, so Schumer's, so McConnell's, so all of their agendas can be pushed through to solidify their own wealth and their own positions of power. He's the foil. He's the bad guy. He's the boogeyman. And they'll let him be that. He's getting a little out of control now, but they still feel that they can slap a muzzle on him. I don't know if they can, but I think that's what they feel. But he has played the perfect role, the loudmouth blowhard that takes everybody's attention away from the fact that this government is corrupt, that we're losing our civil rights, that there's been a war against workers since the time of Ronald Reagan and PATCO. All of these things have led to this culmination of this piss-poor leadership and this sorry excuse for a government that we have. That's it. This is what.
So in the situation that we're in now,
yes,
who should raise the question?
The people.
The issue disappearing off of the agenda of the Foreign Relations Committee.
The people have to raise the question on why, if you thought this individual was mentally incapable of handling the position, why you allowed it to happen and why it was allowed to fade away. The people have to raise it because the system is not going to indict itself. A crook's not going to tell you he's a crook. A con man is not going to tell you he's a con man. A liar is not going to tell you you're a liar. They've got to be put out. The falseness, the crime has to be presented in front of them in unmarked terms, and they'll have to be held accountable. And it's going to be up to the people of this country because the government doesn't have the stones for it. They're all corrupt to one degree or another. You know, the dirty hands can't clean themselves. It's got to be an outside force. And this COVID-19, the torture murder of this man could be a galvanizing point. I mean, I see it. I see things happening. I see awareness is coming alight. And hopefully this is something out of tragedy we can get some kind of clarity.
Well, let's hope. There's always
hope. That's all we can do. Yeah. It sounds sad, but during these times and in my age, I mean, that's the best thing that I can see. Because other than that, the corruption has gone so far. This system is so decayed and corrupt that I don't think anything out of itself can come to rectify it. It's got to be destroyed. And I think we're in the beginning processes of seeing its destruction.
Wow. Thank you for contributing today, Ed. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Teresa, and to your listener audience, may they have a blessed day.
Thank you very much, Jay, for your greetings.
It depends on how this pandemic plays out and how this protest that goes on continues to play out. As far as the nuclear bomb, him leashing that's not going to happen. I mean, that, to be honest with you, sis, talking like that to me is silliness. There's too many people in place that would prevent him from doing that type of madness. Now, as far as maybe using the military...
But wait a minute. These are not ordinary people saying these things. These are members of the U.S. Senate who were alarmed.
I don't have no respect for them because they don't do anything. So that right there is just talk to be talking. Now, I will say this. He will use the military, I believe, to quiet down what's going on right now. I think over the next 4 to 5 days, if this continues, I could see him using the military to try and quiet it down because of his insecurity and his panic and him feeling that it's going on for too long. I'm more concerned about that than I am about anything because a lot of people are going
to
get hurt.
To the president. The military is not answerable to the president. He can't personally direct the military to do anything. Constitutionally, he is not able to do that.
say that's the case, what can personally direct him setting off nuclear warfare in the world?
If he now, that's a whole different thing. That's a whole different thing. You're talking about a domestic situation versus an international situation. There are different levels of response from within the United States addressing these particular issues. And there are protocols that are in place and have been in place for a long time. The president can't declare war by himself, although it has happened. There's supposed to be about advice and consent and some kind of education being shared with the Senate. But the president can't by himself declare war. The president can't say, well, in effect, what the president would be doing if he unleashed the military against the citizens, well, that is a huge matter.
Well, I would be more inclined to see him doing that than I would, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but it's not legal. It's not a legal thing to do.
Well, the thing is, it may not be a legal thing to do, but it's not something that he would try and attempt to do before he tried to put forth a nuclear bomb on the world. Remember,
the generals and the military, the higher ups of the military, I believe, will not go for that. And they will break with the president on that specifically to have the military attack U.S. citizens. That is not a good picture.
Well, I don't think he cares about that narrative. I think he cares more about what he would say first and wrong. He doesn't care about if he goes and does what he may do, because that shows him to be the strong man that he pretends to be. That shows him to be someone else.
The missing part of this equation has always been, what are we going to do? We're leaving it still up to a man who the Senate has said, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee has said, we don't trust his mentality at all.
You treat. The American public is like bullies. When you get up in their face, they back down. That's what's going on with this protest. They act like bullies. They ain't going to do nothing. Nobody's going to stop what's going on. All people's going and showing. It's a dog act.
You cannot predict these things. You have to go with what the evidence suggests.
Hey, you please.
You cannot make a definitive prediction until you take a look at all the factors in play.
You please, can I just please say this? I go back 30 years. My history is with a NYSA, Sister Soldier. I saw this played out already. I saw and I've been a part of protesting and all of this. I'm telling you, this will be over soon. Ain't nobody going to do nothing that's going to cause systematic change. It's a game that's played on people. I'm telling you, I got 30 years of history on this. I've witnessed it. I've seen what politicians do to those young people who stand up. I see the games that's being played. This will be over in a week. If it doesn't turn violent, that's all one should wish for. All of this other stuff is smoke and mirrors. It's a game. It's a joke.
Yeah, but you know, making a broad statement like that, no matter if you have had direct experience, there comes a point where we have to discuss the finite matters, and they are quite finite. What is possible, what is not possible? We're asking the question, why, after 3+ years of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee raising the issue of mistrust in the president because of his mental acuity or lack thereof. Hearings were supposed to have been held. It's 3 years plus later, and nothing has happened, despite the fact that it has gotten worse. So we need to ask a question. Why raise it as if you intend to do something? You let 3 years and more pass, and nothing is done. We have not even had a hearing. What are you saying to the people? What is the explanation?
That's all it is. It's smoke and mirrors. It's a game.
You put out a statement, smoke and mirrors, it's a game. That is not a definitive answer.
The definitive answer is this. You have people in position who want to sustain their position and want to have the public feel that they're doing the necessary work at hand, but in reality, they're doing nothing. And that's why after 3 years, nothing has been done. Because like I said, it's smoke and mirrors. It's a dog and pony show. It's an embarrassment. And this is what you have, a person that if he doesn't get reelected is going to jail. And if he gets reelected, the people in power are not going to do anything to stop him but go along with it. Now, I'll leave you with this. The only way he gets reelected and he may get stopped is if the Democrats take control of the Congress and get rid of Mitch McConnell. Then he's in trouble. Until that point, as long as they keep control of the Senate with Mitch McConnell, ain't nothing going to happen.
All right. We'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much for contributing today, all of you. Ma'at, Jean, Ed, and Jay, thank you all for calling in and contributing. And we still need to focus on the salient questions that have gone unanswered. And we More than that, we need to understand why. We need to ask why, because the questions seem to get answered in entirely different arenas. They get addressed, they get answered. So we'll see each other tomorrow. Thank you so much. It's Free Your Mind Friday, and that means it's open phones. Bye-bye.